As we come today to worship, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I want us to see the church that Jesus built, a body of ministry. And as we think about this, it's very important that we have the right attitude when we really become the people God wants us to be. And today we want to, I heard a story about a couple of buckets that went to the well. And as these buckets came to the well, one went with a big frown on his face. And the other one asked, "Why are you frowning?" He says, "Every time I come to the well," he says, "no matter how full I am, when I leave, I return empty." And the other one said, "I have just the opposite view." He said, "I come empty, and every time I return to the well, I get filled up again." Now, folks, how do you view your service to the Lord? Is it out of an emptiness mindset, or is it out of a fullness mindset? I think we have to have that fullness mindset that says, I want to be used of God, and let Him pour me out wherever He chooses to pour me out. And as we think about the body of ministry that we are to be a part of, we note that God places leadership in the church so that we can learn how to do what God wants us to do in ministry. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 4, and it is talking about some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned these before, but I want you to see that these particular gifts are gifts to the church. Now, when I say this, one of those is pastor, and you say, do you see yourself as a gift to the church? The gift is a gift to the church, not me, okay? And the gift to the church is the pastor. And as they come, they are the ones who give overall leadership to direct the congregation to be what God wants them to be. Folks, if we're going to be the church that Jesus built, we need to listen to what God says through those that He brings to lead us. And so as we see this, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, now this expression, He ascended, what does it mean except that He also descended to the lower parts of the earth? And He who descended is Himself also, He who ascended far above all the heavens, so that He might fill all things. And He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the works of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, and it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So He's telling you that God wants to do through each church, each body of Christ, that local expression of that universal church, that we are to be equipped to do the works of ministry. Unfortunately, a lot of people look at the idea of someone coming to give leadership of your church as the one who does all the ministry. Nothing could be further from the truth. Folks, if you ever do that, you've bottlenecked what God wants to do in the area where your church exists. God wants to go far beyond what one person can do. He wants all of the body of Christ to function as one unit together. But He does so by giving you leadership who equips the saints for works of ministry. Now, I've seen pastors take this and take it to a far extreme and say, I'm not to do the ministry, you're to do the ministry, and they don't do anything. That's not true either, because as a Christian, whether or not they're a pastor, they are called upon by God to minister the gospel of Christ. That's my job. That's your job if you are a child of God and a member of this church. And so when we think about this, it needs to be the focus of the body of Christ to follow those that God brings to lead you. Now, we're praying for God to bring the pastor who will be your permanent pastor. And for those who may be visiting, I'm the interim pastor right now, in between. So I know it is not my permanent place right here, but it is my responsibility to deliver this congregation to that pastor so that he can equip the saints for works of ministry. And in the meantime, I'm doing some equipping myself. I'm doing those things that will help the church to be the church it's supposed to be. And so as we look at this, the church is an organization, but it's more than an organization. It's an organism, okay? It's the body of Christ. We'll see that expressed over in 1 Corinthians in just a moment. But what I want you to realize is that when we come to the church, we need to realize the church is not ours. The church is Jesus' church. And when the church belongs to Jesus, he gives then those that he chooses to lead that congregation. And he was starting here when the Apostle Paul is speaking here. He says, and he gave some to be apostles. Now, folks, the apostles and the prophets that he speaks of here were foundational gifts. He says back in the second chapter of Ephesians, chapter verse 20, that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So they were foundational. It was so very important that we had the apostles. They were those that were taking time with Jesus, and they had met Jesus, and they had miracles that would accompany the gift of the apostles. And it was an amazing thing and an important thing for those people to be there. We have many of the books of our Bible because of some of those apostles. But understand this, that gift is not something that we're seeking to function in today, but he does continue there with those who are evangelists and pastors and teachers. And let me tell you, those are not foundational. Those are continuations of the work of God throughout all of history. And when it comes to the evangelist, folks, that person is someone who has an unusual knack of being able to present the gospel and people hear it in such a way that they want to know Jesus. I like to be around those guys. I really do. I love to be with the person who has that gift of the evangelist and just watch as God just moves in and touches lives and people come to Jesus. I almost envy that gift. Now I said almost because it's wrong to envy something, but I would love for that to have been the gift God chose to give me. But he gave me an important gift too. And that was the gift of a pastor teacher. Now, whether an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, or a pastor teacher, they were foundational and they were continuing gifts that helped to equip the saints. And who are the saints? Are they someone that the church is beautified or whatever they call it? No. The saints were what God called his people. Every Christian is called a saint. Someone says, well, I'm not a saint. Well, you're a saint or you ain't. Okay, you got to just decide whether you are a child of God. And if you are, God calls you a saint. So we are to equip the saints, that's you, for works of ministry, for the building up, the edifying. If you were speaking it in Spanish, that's the word for building up, edify. And so when we think about this, we see that the building up of the body of Christ is the goal of the church. That we might function together in such a way that you bless others and you bring others further along in the cause of Christ. And so everyone is to be built up in the faith and learn how to do some ministry. You say, well, I don't know what my ministry is. Well, you just begin serving. I've mentioned it two or three Sundays now, and I'm going to mention it again. We've got Bible school coming up. Great place to start serving. And by the way, if you want to get hooked up for that and train, there's a way to do that. And what is it, next Monday? Okay, not tomorrow, but the week from tomorrow, there'll be a training here, and we are inviting all the churches of our association to come and to go through that training. You won't be here by yourself. You'll be here with other brothers and sisters in Christ who have the same eagerness to learn. And so it is the equipping of the saints for works of ministry. And you say, well, I really don't know. Come and find out how that you might fit in that. That's a great place to find a function within the body of Christ. And it's not long term, okay? It's short term. So it's someplace where you can check it out and see, Lord, is that something you want me to do in other ways? Well, let me tell you, we'll have some continuing needs, and I'll explain to that comment to you at the end of the service today. But as we think about the idea of the body of Christ, we need to understand that we are to be equipped to do works of service. Why? So that we might all come to the unity of the faith. You know, we hear a lot about unity today. A lot of people think unity means we are all the same. No. Folks, you can take two old tomcats, tie their tails together, and throw them over a clothesline. You got union, but you don't have unity, okay? They are all over one another trying to get away from that situation. Well, I want you to know there are a lot of people who treat church like that. And they think we all ought to be the same. We are not supposed to be the same. By the way, the pastor you're calling in the days ahead will not be the same as pastors you've had in the past. God doesn't intend that. God intends for that person to come and to equip the saints the way God's using them. But when we think about this, it's till we all come to the unity of the faith. Unity comes from the people working together. That's all it is. Functioning in your job. And he goes on to talk about that at the end of this passage. Right down there at verse 16, he says, "From whom the whole body, fitted together and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part." I told you a while ago, Donnie Guerrero had a knee replacement this week. He's got to learn now with his body how to function with that new joint that's been put into his body that once was naturally occurring, but now he's got to learn to function again with that which is now supplied. Well, understand that when we come to the idea of the body of Christ, every person brings something to the table. Every person has something that God wants to draw out of you to make this body something very attractive to those who don't know Christ. Now, I've said to you over and over again, the church does not exist just for you. Now, it should be something that you enjoy. It should be something where you're blessed. It should be a place where you, find some satisfaction. But it shouldn't be something that's an end in itself, that you come just so you'll be satisfied. No, 1,000 times no. You come that you might be filled up and then poured out in ministry. Now hear me on this. We as Baptist people believe in salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. Okay, we don't believe that anything is added to the salvation by grace through faith. But in the passage where we get that, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." A lot of us want to put a period there, but there's no period there. Because it goes on by saying, "But you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them." So we're not saved by works. But we work if we're saved. That's what that verse is saying. And if you are not working within your church, you are not working within the body of Christ, you're not helping the body do its full job. And we are joined together by that which every joint supplies, it said in that passage. So you know what? If we're doing our job and someone else is doing their job, that part of the body of Christ can look very healthy. That can be something that God really wants to picture of what the church is supposed to be. But if we're coming only for what it does for us, we're missing out. God wants to bring you in and use you and cause you to help the body function as it should. And he says when he does that, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, realize this. We don't build the church. Jesus builds the church. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So we don't build the church, but when you come in and do your job, the church is built up from the inside out. Because that's God's intention, that the church become a body of ministry. You say, well, I don't know how to do a lot of things. Years ago, when I was director of the association in Joplin, we had had a local tornado in Carl Junction. A couple of people were killed there in the town, and that was the town where I graduated from high school, just outside of Joplin there. And so when I went there to work with the tornado recovery, the night of the tornado, I couldn't get into the tornado site because I still had Oklahoma tags on my truck, and I didn't have any credentials saying that I was the Baptist director, you know, to spy out what needed to happen or anything like that. And when we got there, the Mormons beat us to it, and so they ran the distribution center there in Carl Junction. Now, there wasn't a Mormon church in Carl Junction, okay? And so when I looked at what happened, I thought, we have to do something to help us have a presence in this area where there are so many Baptist churches. And so I had a pastor come to me, and we'd called in a team from Arkansas, from down around Lake Fork, Arkansas, somewhere down there, Mountain Fork, Arkansas. Anyway, they came, and they did some disaster relief work with chainsaws. And you know what? One of my guys got excited about that. He was pastor at North Main Street Baptist Church out near the airport at Joplin. And he said, couldn't we do something like that? And I said, find out what it would take. So he got to investigating some things, and he determined that if we did what they did, they took a horse trailer and changed it into a chainsaw trailer. Well, we wanted something even better than that. So we got a trailer, and we equipped it with saws. We got training for our men. And guys who didn't know very much about how to do much in the church learned how to do a lot outside the church, and it caused the name of Christ to be excited in the people's hearts. Because we trained over 200 people in how to do work like that, not knowing that a few years later we would have the fourth largest tornado in the history of the United States of America hit our town. But I can tell you, we had people ready. We had people who were able. And we had guys. I remember one guy who came to me, and he said, Steve, I want to serve the Lord, but he said, I'm a backhoe operator. How can I use that to serve the Lord? I said, I don't know, Lee, but let's pray about it. And when we prayed about it, the next thing I know, he's put a grapple on the front of that backhoe. And man, we went down to Hurricane Katrina, and he could pick up half the earth with that backhoe that none of us could. It was amazing the things that we got done. It caught a fire in his heart. He began to serve like that all over the place. Now, let me just say to you that you may not have a skill to sit down and teach the Bible. By the way, he's now the soon-to-be probably pastor at Oak Grove Baptist Church in south of Joplin. And it started with, how can the Lord use me with my backhoe? Okay? It's just amazing what God knows where he's going to use you and how he's going to use you. Start using what God's given you, whatever it is. And you'll find that he'll begin to move you toward what it is he wants to do with you. But nevertheless, it is for the building up of the body of Christ, so that it says here, it will build itself up in love. You know, over and over again, we were able to reach into the lives of people, whether it's during ice storms or whether it was during tornadoes or whatever it was. I remember there was a flood at Miami years ago that was really bad, and we brought our shower trailer. By then, we'd developed another area of ministry. We had shower trailers and washers and dryers where we'd just wash people's clothes and help them help our workers shower and all of that kind of stuff, because they'd be there sometimes a week or 2 weeks, and they needed some place to clean up, and they needed some clothes to wear the next day. And so while they're showering, we're washing their clothes. You know, it was amazing to be a part of what God wanted us to do by simply doing the next thing God showed us. Do you know you don't have to have the full map to determine what God's will is for your life? You just have to know what's the next step. Do you know in Psalms, there's a verse in men's restroom back here that's up on the wall in there, and it says in Psalm 37:24, I believe it is, where it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. You know what I've learned from that verse? I've learned that I don't have to see the end of the trail. I have to see the next step. So I take that step, and I'm in God's will. And I look for the next step, and there it is. And I take that step, and I'm in God's will. And there's the next step, and I take that step, and I'm in God's will. Folks, that's not rocket science. That's people obeying God. And he does so by giving leadership in the church. And the church has people with all kinds of skills. I just mentioned those kind of skills that wouldn't necessarily function in a Sunday school class. They wouldn't be in a committee or a team that's working within the church, but they're outside the church giving a witness for Christ. And let me tell you, we saw people give their heart to Christ over and over and over again. I would tell my guys, while you're sawing, if you see one of your brothers over there talking with a resident who's going through this thing, you start praying while you're sawing, okay? Just pray that the Lord will open their heart and that they might give their life to Jesus. Let me tell you, we saw it over and over and over and over again as people would give their heart to Christ. Why? Because somebody was working. You hear me? So God gives leadership to his church like that. Now, I want to show you some other verses here, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul is also speaking. Ephesians is one of Paul's letters as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see where he uses the analogy of the body functioning together with all of its individual parts. And in verse 14, he says, let me get on the right page here, okay. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for that reason any less a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, is it for not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as he desired. Folks, if you're coming to this church, God wants you here. If you're coming as a part of the body of Christ, there's something that you can bring to the table. And God has put you here for a reason, and it's not to warm a chair in the auditorium, okay? That's just coming here to get your bucket filled, all right? But when we come, we ought to learn that God is now wanting more than just the wild favor of me showing up, okay? A lot of people think, man, I've done God a favor. I came once this month. Well, let me just tell you something. You can come every day of the month and not really be pleasing God. But what I am going to say to you is that if you're a child of God, you're going to want to be with the people of God. And you're going to want to hear what God is saying to the body so that you can respond together. Every part does its share. And so God places us in the body as it pleases him. And when he says, you know, the eye can't say, or the ear can't say to the eye, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. He says, the ear's important. You lose hearing in some one of your ears, and you'll notice. Back in 1987, I was quail hunting up by Miami, and it was icy that day, and I had my gun ready to shoot a quail, and all of a sudden, I slipped on the ice. I hit the ground. The gun went off right here, went right past this ear, and I have a lot of dullness in that ear. So when you talk to me in this ear, I'll oftentimes turn it that way. Tyson saw me do that last week when he said something to me in a meeting, and I turned my head to hear him, because this ear is quite dull because of that accident. Well, let me just tell you, when we have the parts of the body functioning as they should, they complement one another. They're not in competition. They bless the body by being different. I'll tell you, I'm glad my wife is a woman, okay? You know, the bottom line is that that's the way God intends it. And God bless the difference, okay? I'd hate to roll over at night and feel her whiskers. Whew. Not something that even sounds attractive. But when we think about the whole idea of our differences, those differences make us one. in the husband and wife relationship? Will they make the body of Christ one when we are doing our job, not trying to do someone else's job? Hear me and hear me well. Don't meddle in somebody else's junk. You begin to do what God has you to do, and as you do, the body functions better. And so when we think about this, we see that we are not independent in the body of Christ. We're interdependent within the body of Christ. We need each other. Now, what if we're way different? Well, most times we are, okay? Quite often, there will be people who do something so different from how you would do it, and yet they still accomplish the will of God. So we don't necessarily need to be critical of someone unless they are outside of Scripture or they're doing something by immorality, trying to do something for God. No, those things don't work. But if they are not denying Scripture and they are used of God to do something miraculous, thank God. That's a wonderful thing. And so as he talks about this, he says, verse 19 of this passage says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say, says to the hand, I have no need of you. And neither can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. It says, whereas our presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked. So you see, God raises up people for certain things in certain times, and he gives people abilities that are important to be used together within the body of Christ. But nevertheless, as we see this, he says, so that there will be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. The old King James verse that's there for division in the body is the word schism. And it's the idea of something being divided, okay, cut in two. Well, understand that these cuttings in the body of Christ occur when a part is there but it's not working, or when they're not there and a job needs to be done. So when we think about this, if we're desiring to be something that we're not, it doesn't fit well. You know what I've found? If I'm not able to do something, I start praying, God, raise up that person who can do this. Bring that person in who can help us. You know, there may be some areas of our church that are weak right now. Well, let's not condemn people for that. Let's pray that God will raise up the persons who will help that to be strong within the body of Christ. And so as we think about it, the business of the church is something that is just like I teach our deacons, and that is that the business of the church is not nickels and noses. It's not finances. It's not how many seats are in the seats, okay? The business of the church is the people business. You know, people have all kinds of issues. Some people, you know, they have it all together, you know, in their emotional area of life. Others are a hot mess. I mean, they just really are. But that doesn't mean that they're not a child of God. What it means is they just need some help in connecting those things that will help them. And they need your example in that to make it work for them. Understand that the body is to be a body of ministry, both inside and outside the doors of the church. There are some things that we're looking at for community ministry. We need to be praying that God will open up those things that he wants this church to do. We need to be finding how that might function best out here on Monkey Island. Let me just tell you, God has a plan. and he has a plan for Lake Center Baptist Church, and he has a plan for the pastor he brings in here to lead you to a greater height. Let me just tell you, it's exciting to think about the future that God has for us, because God has a plan for a hope and a future for us. Where are we today? Are we serving? If you're not, get busy. All right? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the time to look into your word today. And I pray that you'll help us to be like that bucket that comes back and says, no matter how empty I am, I leave full. Father, I just pray that you would help us to be full of your Spirit, to be willing to serve you in any way that will bring honor and glory to you. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name.